I want Dame. I want the offense to run through Dame. When Giannis has the ball at the top of the key, there are not many more people, Justin, in this world that love Giannis more than me. When Giannis has the ball at the top of the key, my five-year-old knows what he's going to do with it. There's no surprise in what he's going to do. Number one, he's going to get hurt. We've seen it. Number two,
He didn't get hurt at the top of the key last year.
Right, but what he got hurt doing what he does, what he was going to do. This, you're going to think, maybe this is a hot take, but I just don't think that Giannis has sacrificed enough for this team to be successful. You're right, Dame has. I mean, there's a couple of times where Giannis is bringing the ball off the court, and in times, in transition, it makes sense. You know, if you want to have, if that throughout the course of the game, you're going to have it more than a few times, sure. But I want the offense, I want Dame to run the offense. I want it to go through him. Can he play off ball? Sure. Is he better with the ball in his hands? I would make the case that he is.
Yeah, and we heard from Doc, and I think for the most part we've seen it, how it's going to be structured when they're both on the floor, who brings the ball up in what situations. We saw moments of it. We saw long stretches of it. It's not just moments of it. Wednesday night in Philly, I'm not going to rush to judgment if it takes a step back in one game. Like, if it becomes a sample size, like, you need 10 or so games. 20 games is really the sample size you should be viewing in the league, but I need at least 10 games of seeing. It still feels like a my turn, your turn type of thing. We at least saw a step forward Wednesday. Not tonight, but that wasn't the only issue tonight. But if you start to see it more frequently, starting Sunday, hopefully Monday against Boston, and then through the week, I just don't think we can get to the point yet where you can say, hey, this guy isn't doing enough, or this guy isn't doing enough. Like, it's still very early. I get where it's coming from after the way last year went. And, you know, the other thing, too, with everybody freaking out over Giannis and Dame didn't work out together in the offseason, I get why you would jump to that of like, well, this is a problem. Giannis doesn't work out with Chris Middleton in any offseason and hasn't
and
ever.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Doc
and
said
he
that
and Chris Middleton have the best chemistry on this team.
And correct me if I'm wrong, though. Doc did say that they've flown out to Greece a few times. They were in Portland a few times.
Yeah. I mean,
they were together.
Right.
I think when you look at those two games, though, and when you look at it on paper, Justin, when the Bucks traded for Damian Lillard, if you're an NBA fan, if you're a Bucks fan, you're like, man, these two dudes, their games fit perfectly together. It's not like a Paul George and a Kawhi Leonard where they both have the ball in their hands or they need the ball in their hands at all times. It's not like Kyrie Irving and KD who kind of in the same boat, you know, like to create their own shot. It felt like going into this marriage, and I know this is, we're not calling this a failure, it just felt like those two were the perfect match for anybody to play. It would have been Damian Lillard with Giannis.
And I would just say this. I don't think it was a case of KD and Kyrie Irving didn't work together. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard didn't work together. The health didn't work for those guys. And
fair point.
And a pandemic and Kyrie Irving's overall thoughts is what didn't work in Brooklyn with that team and certainly the health of the Clippers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It seems like we've hit a nerve and there is a common theme that you guys want to address tonight. We'll get to that. And speaking of you not wanting good things to come out of Chicago, I mean, somebody we're working with tonight is one of those good things that came out of Chicago.
And I love
him. He has a good thing for us that we'll get to a little bit later on as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Lillard has to work quickly as he gets it across midcourt off to Giannis. Giannis going downhill, rifles into the corner, catch and shoot three. Bobby Portis buries it with 1.3 seconds to go.
133-122, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bulls come to town and spoil the home opener tonight. Big game from Kobe White, Josh Giddey, Nikola Vucevic. 21 made threes for the Bulls in this one tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Will.i.am. Will, were you at this one tonight?
Justin, thank you so much for taking my call, man. I was in attendance. Obviously, wasn't able to call into the last show the other evening, but this game was another game of interesting and a learning interest to me. Got three quick points here for you and the new guy here. First off, you guys mentioned it with the sacrifice. Everyone has to make sacrifices on this team. And I also think ego needs to be put down on the side as well. It's cool that you don't like working out with people. It's cool you don't like working out with your teammates. But when you can't make free throws, can't move the ball, and you don't want to play, you know, the styling that we were used to with Giannis of getting to the cup, making the free throws, and isolation ball for game. Again, going back and forth is not going to work. We need them both on the court. That's just something I've thought from the beginning. I know they're new together, it was a newly marriage, but I believe that they have a lot of potential to still be unlocked. I also think my second point here is, again, I know this is not to be, you know, the hammer on the nail here, but again, our coaching looks like a complete embarrassment. We decided not to use any of the bench, to give any of our starters help and just played seven people while the Bulls extended their bench, giving all sorts of people sorts of looks, which led to them moving the ball, my final point, and being able to exploit us and get these wide open corner threes, the easiest shot in the game, to people that are shooting over 50% of the game. Justin, if these things don't get adjusted or corrected, this is going to be a long season. I understand it's game number two, but this seems like nothing's changed. What do you got to say to that?
I'm not quite ready to say nothing has changed. I mean, we saw a lot of that change Wednesday night. They were basically nine deep tonight. I mean, I get there's going to be a lot of, why aren't we playing the young guys? Like, why can't we see A.J. Johnson? Why aren't we going to see Ajax out there? But it's going to take an injury or something else to happen for those guys to really carve out a piece in the rotation. And it's not going to get any better once Chris Middleton returns. I don't think that's a bad thing because all the changes that you've made to the roster, it's made it a better roster. Torian Prince is better than Jay Crowder. You're upgraded there. Delon Wright is better than Pep Beverly or campaign a season ago. You upgraded there. Gary Trent Jr. is better than Malik Beasley. And, you know, we pointed to what you saw Wednesday night against Tyrese Maxey. I think you saw a decent stretch of it for the first quarter and a half tonight. I don't even fault a Gary Trent Jr. We started to see some issues with screen navigation for some guys. I don't think Gary Trent Jr. was one of those. So I just can't get behind this is the same team. Nothing's changed. The coaching was bad. X, Y, and Z. It wasn't a great game. It certainly wasn't when the Bulls took 50% of their shots from three and they knocked down 21 of them. It really came down to stretching the defense, getting those paint touches, forcing the Bucks to react, and then just spraying the ball to the perimeter and finding open shooters from the outside. To me, where you can get to that of same as last year, what's going on here, is when this happens every other game or every third game, or you have a stretch of, man, they have looked like crap for four games in a row. Like, that is going to happen. It does to every team. But if it's early and if you see prolonged stretches of that, that's when I think it's fair to start to raise that flag. But to me, again, I think what Wednesday did was show you, okay, here's some of the changes we talked about. Here's what we said ideally this would look like. And I know Philly was out without Joel Embiid and Paul George. The Bucks were without Chris Middleton. And as we talked about the importance of finding that third scorer tonight, you haven't had that for the first two games because of the absence of Chris Middleton. But that just showed you, in theory, here's some of the things that we can do. Here's how it can look. Now the big piece is just consistency and starting to piece that together for a couple of games in a row. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phones and check in with Jeffrey in Indiana. You're up next.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I was at the game tonight. I drove all the way from Bloomington, Indiana, because I'm a big Bucks fan, and I was pretty disappointed. I kind of felt like offensively, yeah, there were some moments that were rough. Definitely a little bit of your turn, my turn, like you guys were saying. But I do think it's getting better than it was last year. But defensively, I feel like there were a lot of moments where we would get a bucket and then the Bulls would turn it around, you know, check it up. They would get down the court and score, like, almost immediately, like, before the crowd could even finish cheering. So, yeah, I mean, I guess just wanted to ask you, like, what you guys think about the transition defense. Do you think that's still a big issue? Because that was a huge issue last year. Like, do you think it's an effort thing? Do you think it's a scheme thing? But, yeah, I just wanted to hear what y'all had to say about that.
I mean, defense is all effort. Would you agree with that? I mean, obviously skill, but I think the Bucks, and you mentioned it, are better than they were a year ago. They have clear upgrades across the board, in my opinion. I think it all comes down to just effort, and that's a heck of a drive for a Bucks game. Shout out,
yeah,
shout out to you. But you're right. But the Bulls, you got to give credit where credit's due. And we can sit here and harp on a lot of things, and I will come up with a hot take every 5 minutes if I have to. But at the end of the day, the Bulls just played. They played phenomenal tonight.
Better, yeah.
They were just good.
And I think the area that gives me the most optimism about the defense, I'm not going to suggest it was good tonight. It was nowhere near good enough. But what gives me the most optimism is the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, Darvin Ham was pretty critical to what they did defensively in the Mike Budenholzer era, working with their bigs, with Brook Lopez specifically. Greg Buckner, we've mentioned that name a lot, who was the associate head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'm going to keep coming back to this point. Cleveland had a very good defense for the last four seasons when he was in that role with them. They have some weaknesses on the perimeter. They have some very good defenders on that team. And, yeah, I would concede that they have, overall, better perimeter defenders as a whole than the Bucks do. But there were some spots you could pick at on that defense, on the perimeter. But what he was able to do to architect that defense and the way he built it from the inside out, basically, with their two twin towers, and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, and say, okay, these guys are going to take everything else away. We have Evan Mobley that can be the rover and be the help guy, take on some perimeter assignments, come over for some weak side blocks. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Brook Lopez is a better rim protector than Jared Allen, so you already have those pieces. There's no reason to believe he can't start to architect the same type of thing. And as we've said, especially for how bad it was last year, you don't need to be a top five defense. With the caveat that this offense consistently gets to where we think it's capable of being, but be 12, you know, be somewhere around the top 10, and I do think that is a very real possibility with the coaching staff that's in place, with some of the changes that we've seen with the additions of Taurean Prince and DeLon Wright and Gary Trent Jr. and how their upgrades defensively, that I do think that's a possibility. And that is going to go a long way in this team finding that consistency and looking better and not having a lot of games like we saw tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Still a few more on hold. We'll get to you momentarily. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Gathering in the corner. He's defended by Dasum, who double-team arrives. He passes it down low. Good feed to Connaughton. Connaughton couldn't make the shot, but then tips it back out to Trent. And Gary Trent zeroes in from three. Heads-up play by Connaughton to keep that alive in the presence to tap it to Trent in rhythm.
Gary Trent Jr. knocked down a pair of threes tonight. Pat Connaughton looked good early in this game, and that was kind of when the Bucks were at their best, when you were getting those contributions from players not just named Giannis and Damian Lillard, but the Bulls got even more from those on their roster, and especially Kobe White. So they come into Milwaukee and win this one tonight, 133-122. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Bob and Menasha. You're up next.
Yeah, Justin, thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm not too worried about Giannis and Lillard. They're going to score. It's probably never a perfect fit with your two high scorers like that. But and the roster has improved over last year, but it was pretty god-awful last year. But I'm worried about, you know, the age of Lopez and Portis and Connaughton. You know, and I don't know if you're going to get enough points out of those guys. You got a Wright, I guess they picked him up, but he never scored in the NBA. So I'm worried about the age of some of those other guys and so forth, and whether there's enough points amongst the rest of the guys. The top two are going to score, I believe, okay? But I'm worried about the rest of the team. I hope I'm wrong, and the next 10 games are going to be pretty interesting to watch, aren't they, Justin?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. And look, it looks a lot different when Chris Middleton is on the floor. That DeLon Wright goes to the bench. Bobby Portis is your primary scorer off the bench. You got DeLon Wright. Torian Prince goes to the bench, I should say. You got DeLon Wright. You got Torian Prince giving you more of that role player type of production. And the roster just fits better when Chris Middleton is healthy. But still waiting to get there. When we return, a throwback to the old days of Bucks Talk. We'll do the give and go with Greg Hill coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Well, the Bucks come up short against the Bulls. We talked about the chemistry between Damian Lillard and Giannis. Still a work in progress, but I can tell you this. The chemistry for all the OGs out there between myself and Greg Hill is not a work in progress. We give you once again the give and go.
One possession each. What is the play?
This is the most important timeout I've ever called.
He decides. These two discuss. It's time to run the give and go on Bucks Talk.
Oh, it's so good to be back. All right, gentlemen, another tough loss against the Bulls, unfortunately, but it is Chicago, right? Sort of a rivalry that is more by proxy rather than actual competition. I wrote that line before this game ended. Milwaukee has played this bizarre kid brother to our neighbors 90 or so miles to the south. However, there's some more similarities than we may think that we have with the city of the Chicago. So for today's give and go, you both will be going against each other. It will be Garcia versus Snide. What is the game? Well, boys, considering it's the home opener, it was against the Bulls. It's time to ride the bull. All right, so what does that mean? I have a few categories. We're only probably going to get to one that highlight the similarities between Milwaukee. The twist is that you will be riding the radio bull, and that ain't no bullshit. Okay? According to the PBR, which is the Pro Bull Riding Association, official rules, the max time you have to ride a bull is 8 seconds. So I will mention this category, and you will each have 8 seconds to rattle off as many answers as you can once you hear the bull's sound effect. Are you clear on the rules?
Yeah, we're each going on our own.
Correct. You're each going on your own. Yeah. So, Justin, you're the seasoned vet, so you can go first if you'd like. Now, do you want to hear the category and then you can decide?
Sure.
Here's the category. We're going to see the players in the NBA, both past and present, that have worn both the antlers and the horns for the Bulls. What I'm looking for is NBA players who have played for both the Bulls and the Bucks.
That's tough.
I need... Past or present, you can go. Justin Garcia, as many Bulls and Bucks players that you can mention in 8 seconds after the Bulls sound effect. Here we go.
Marcus Hayslip, Marcus Fizer, Javon Carter, Kurt Thomas.
Oh, man, three. Okay. Some deep cuts in there, too. But all right.
Those were some deep cuts.
I respect it. All right, Snide. 8 seconds from the sound of the bull sound effect. Here we go.
Bobby Portis, Mike Dunleavy Jr., and Tim Thomas.
Okay, but you only got three. Now, should we do a second round? We have time for a second round. Justin Garcia for the second round.
It's still Bulls and Bucks?
It's still Bulls and Bucks. Oh, we'll keep the same category. Still Bulls and Bucks. Who has played for both the Bucks and the Bulls? 8 seconds from the start of the Bull sound effect. Here we go.
Michael Carter Williams.
Come on. All right, okay, so now... I know that was quick. The score right now is 5-3, Justin. Snide, you can either tie it or walk it off here. Bucks and Bulls players, a player who played for the both teams. 8 seconds at the start of the Bulls sound effect. Here we go.
Ooh, Tony Kukoc.
Oh, man.
Man, I...
Oh, man!
I don't know. I'm going to lose this one.
You can hear people yelling at their radios. Can I get a Jabari Parker, anybody? Yeah. How about a Kyle Korver?
Oh,
my goodness gracious. DJ Augustine. DJ Augustine. Here's a good one that I didn't remember. Greg Anthony. How about that one?
That's a deep one. That's a deep
Luke hole. Cornett. Oh, my goodness. Kevin Ollie. I mean, we had so many players. Thank you all for the one and just maybe the slight return of the give and go. Thank you for riding the bull.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. I miss Tony Kukoc as a lifelong Tony Kukoc stan. I have a Tony Kukoc headband that he actually wore in a game.
Did anyone say pal?
I did.
Oh man. God. Torrey Craig.
Well, yeah. Who, oddly enough, didn't see the floor tonight.
Well done.
Torrey Craig, by the way, I conducted the most awkward interview ever with. I think the two most awkward interviews I've ever had were, speaking of Bucks legends from that era, Joe Smith and then Torrey Craig a couple of years ago when we did this digital show for the Bucks. It was me and Melanie Ricks called Courtside Live. And they set us up with player interviews before, because the show would be 90 minutes long, leading into the Bally Sports Wisconsin pregame. And one of the games, the player interview, was Torrey Craig. And I was just asking him about South Carolina and Chris Middleton being from South Carolina. And do you know anything about him? Was there any rivalry? You guys are somewhat close in age. Everything was one-word answers.
It's the toughest.
One-word answers, and I'm from this part of South Carolina. He's from that one. I know nothing about him. Like,
alrighty.
All right. Anyway, Torrey, it was great having you on the show. And best of luck tonight against the Raptors. An experience I'll never forget.
Kendall Gill. Drew Gooden.
Yeah. Drew Gooden, who, by the way, is a broadcaster for the Washington Wizards now. And every time the Wizards are in town and Drew Gooden comes to town, he still goes to Zafiro's on Farwell and raves about it and awesome. Tells everyone to go eat at Zafiro's.
Tony Snell.
Oh, yeah. I thought you would have got Bobby Portis. I thought that was the layup.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
I mean, he still beat me, so.
Yeah, I was more focused on those players from that certain era of like the early 2000s.
Patrick Beverly.
Oh yeah.
I love everyone. Oh man, that's my favorite part about this game.
Great game.
Scott Williams, come on.
Oh man. Jim Fox. Oh, we can keep going, folks.
Yeah, it's the 8 seconds thing that really threw me.
Welcome to Ride the Bull.
Wow. Well, the return of the give and go. It went about as well as I would have imagined here. When we return, we will take a look around the league, see if our old pal Mike Budenholzer can get his Suns to a 2-0 start, and wrap things up here on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
For the Bucks, who dropped the home opener to the Chicago Bulls and now look to bounce back Sunday in Brooklyn against the Nets. If you give up...
Don't say it, they'll do it.
20-plus threes to this Brooklyn Nets team. Then it's not worry time, but it's like, what's going on with the defense? Like, have we taken a step forward? So that's the... That's what I leave this game with. A little bit of a regression tonight. Let's see a step in the right direction Sunday against a bad team in the Brooklyn Nets.
This is how it's going to be all year, though, Justin.
We don't know that.
No, I'm talking about the losses. I mean, the time's now. This is it.
Well, this depending is on it. How the losses look.
Right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned it in the preview show for the season. This is the golden age of Bucks basketball. This is it. It's not going to get any better than it was from 2021 on until wherever this finishes.
Well, I mean,
so every loss is going to be highlighted. Every win is going to be like, well, you should have won. It was expected.
You know?
Well, yeah, you're right.
But,
yeah. 2021 was the peak of that.
Yeah, and look, you got to stack these consistencies, and that was the tough part about tonight. Not a great team in the Chicago Bulls. So you look to regroup on Sunday. 5 o'clock tip-off from Brooklyn for the Bucks and the Nets. 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Brandon and I will talk to you then.